Bibles, let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 19. 2 Kings chapter number 19. The message tonight is praying with Hezekiah. And I trust that we'll have a rewarding time in the Word of God tonight. 2 Kings chapter number 19. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. And he sent Eliakim, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priest, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said unto him, Thus saith Hezekiah, This day is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy. For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. It may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, hath sent to reproach the living God, and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left." So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah. We'll stop there with our reading tonight. Hezekiah was the king of Judah, which was the better half of the split that occurred in the nation of Israel. We find him coming on into prominence in chapter 18, verse number 1. His home was in Jerusalem, and he was watching as Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, ran roughshod and ramped over much of the country. Israel had been taken captive by Assyria in chapter 18 of verse number 11, and they had been taken captive because they disobeyed the voice of the Lord their God, according to verses 11 and 12. And let me say this to you tonight. You cannot, if you're a child of God, you cannot live in disobedience to Him and live in the freedom that He wants you to have. When we began to strive against God and disagree with God and disobey God, He just has a way of putting a limit on our liberties. And so the Bible tells us simply that they had disobeyed His voice, and so they had displeased Him, and they were living in shame. In chapter 18 and verse number 13, we find that the forward marching armies of Assyria had captured in the fenced cities of Judah, and now they are attempting to add Jerusalem to their list of victories. We want to note some things that lead up to a time when Hezekiah is going to get down to business and really talk to the Lord Jesus. First off, we see the situation. In the situation that they were in, because they see this army rolling across the country, taking all of these cities, taking the enemies even of Israel, and doing what they wanted to do with the cities of Israel, they find the Bible says that the situation becomes one of either we trust the Lord or we trust human reasoning. And Hezekiah, at this point in his life, in spite of the tremendous recommendation that we're going to look at a little bit later, we find that he decided that he was going to trust human reasoning. He's going to figure it out. He was scared. I wonder tonight if you've ever been scared. As a child of God, have you looked at the things that God would have you to do, and you looked at what the world, the flesh, and the devil say you ought to do, and you were scared? Well, that's where Hezekiah found himself. He was like Peter when he bailed out over the side of that boat and went running across the water, or walking, I guess is the Bible term, walked across the water to the Lord Jesus. But then he took his eyes off the Lord, and he saw the wind bolstering, and the Bible said he began to sink. Now we find here that that's exactly what Hezekiah had done. The word Hezekiah means Jehovah is my strength. And so not knowing whether that was given to him at birth or given to him because of his attitude growing up, we know that at least his parents had some expectations for him, or someone else saw some great attributes in his life. His name means Jehovah is my strength. He had been a great king. In chapter 18, if we begin reading in about verse number 3, the Bible tells us, let me get back over here to chapter 18. And again, in verse number 3, the Bible said, "And he, Hezekiah, did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did." So here we find that he comes introduced to us as having been one who did that which was right. In verse number 4, the Bible said, "He removed the high places and break the images and cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For unto those days the children of Israel did burn incense to it, and called it Nehushtan. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him." Could I suggest to you that the Bible, I think, is telling us here that in some ways at least, he was a greater king than Israel, or excuse me, than David was for the nation of Israel. The Bible said there was none better after him, and there was none that was before him that were greater than him. Now, we find as we think about the thinking of Hezekiah at this time, we need to understand a principle of life. And that principle is simply this: the Lord leads by faith, and the devil drives by fear. The Lord leads by faith, the devil drives by fear. And no matter what have been our accomplishments, fear can come. And that's where we find Hezekiah finding himself. He tries to buy his way out of trouble. Of course, we know that the love of money is the root of all evil. And because so many people want money, sometimes we think that money will just fix any problem that we have. And so he tries to buy his way out of trouble. In verse number 14, notice the Bible says, chapter 18, verse 14, "And Hezekiah the king of Judah sent to the king of Assyria to Lachish, saying, I have offended." Well, how did he offend? He served God. He had offended. "I have offended. Return from me. That which thou puttest on me will I bear." And the king of Assyria appointed unto Hezekiah, king of Judah, 300 talents of silver and 30 talents of gold. So here we find that he promised the king of Assyria, "Listen, whatever, if you'll just retire, if you'll just back off, if you just leave me alone, if you just let me serve myself, serve as king and live out my life, I'll be happy. Just please back off. And whatever you say, that's what I'll do." And before we get too hasty to challenge him, could I say that sometimes we do that with the world in our time? We tell the world, I just gotta have a little more time. I've gotta have more time for myself. I've gotta have more time with my family. I've gotta have more time away. I've got to have more time. And we give the world our time and say, take it and do with it what you want to do with it. I just need some time. We allow the world to take our kids by submitting them to things that we ought not to allow them to be submitted to, and even sometimes helping them to take advantage of those things and so forth. Literally, whatever the world asks, verse number 14 is what a scared person will do. Literally, whatever the world asks is what the scared person will do. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26 says, speaking primarily, I think, of lost people, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I have no doubt in my mind that the devil can take a lost person captive anytime he wants to. Or they can kick at the traces, and they can argue, and they can throw up a stink and one thing or another and fuss and fight. But he's going to get them if he wants them. The Bible says he takes them captive at his will. But I think sometimes the devil does that to God's people too. That's why the Bible says that we're to resist the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from us. But if we don't resist him, he's going to continue to take advantage of us. In verses 15 and 16, not only does he promise to give him whatever he wants, but now we find that he's taking that which belongs to the Lord, and he's giving that to the king of Assyria. The Bible says in verse number 15, "And Hezekiah gave him all the silver that was found in the house of the Lord and in the treasures of the king's house. At that time did Hezekiah cut off the gold from the doors of the temple of the Lord and from the pillars which Hezekiah, king of Judah, had overlaid, and he gave it to the king of Assyria." So here now we find he's given to the king of Assyria those things which belong only to the Lord. I wonder if we have ever done that. Have we ever done things, reasoning humanly speaking, have we ever stopped to think, well, oh my goodness, this only makes sense if I do this. You know, we steal our tithe. Say, well, the Lord doesn't need it. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's got the wealth in every mine. He does, and that's a fact. The earth is the Lord's, the fullest thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. He owns everything. He doesn't need by a little bit. That's human reasoning. And of course, you know, when you start talking about tithing, somebody who is really, really bent on not tithing will say, you know, I'm not under the law. Could I testify to you that the idea of tithing came way before the law came? It was before the law, under the law, and after the law, and it's still the law. Jesus, in fact, said that lost men should tithe. He said to the religious world, he said, this you ought to have done and not to have left the other undone. You ought to have tithed. He said, you tithe of mint and anise and cumin. This you ought to have done and not to have left the other undone. And so we find that the world, even lost people are supposed to tithe. And then we find, you know, at last, when everything else has failed, we say, what was I supposed to do? We're supposed to follow the Lord. We're supposed to obey Him. That's what we're supposed to do. So then we find not only the human reasoning, but now we find the devil using humiliation against him. Verses 19 and 20, notice the Bible says, in Rabshakeh, that's the one who is working for the king of Assyria, and he'd be his gunner man. He'd be his hit man. He's his leader out in the field. The Bible says, and Rabshakeh said unto them, speak ye now to Hezekiah, thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? That's an honest question. The devil, I wonder how many times the devil has suggested to us, who are you trusting anyway? You're not trusting that Jesus of the Bible, are you? You're not trusting that old, dead, dying book, are you? Well, what's the confidence wherein thou trustest? Verse 20, thou sayest, but they are but vain words, I have counsel and strength for war. Now on whom dost thou trust that thou rebellest against me? And so here we find that he's using the idea of humiliation in times of trouble. And actually in times of good times too. Who are we going to trust? To whom are we going to lean? To whom are we going to establish our ways? In verses 21 and 22, the Bible says he belittles Hezekiah's belief in the Lord. And doesn't the devil do that real well? Comes along and says, well, you know, you've trusted him before and look what happened. You trusted him and look what happened. Those people there, they trust him and look what happened. Those people never miss service. Those people always go. Those people always give. Those people always pray. And look what happened to them. He belittles the belief of Hezekiah and the Lord. And then in verse number 25, hear this rebel rouser, hear this killer of Jews, hear this one who's wanting to run roughshod over Jerusalem, hear this one who's blasphemed the very name of God. He says, am I now come up without the Lord against this place to destroy it? The Lord said to me, go up against this land and destroy it. And so he's just using humiliation one time after another time after another time. He's violating the Bible. And we know when you're listening to me tonight, when you're violating the Scriptures, you're not following the Lord. And the devil has a way of coming in and saying, it'll be okay this time. It'll be okay for a little bit. You can straighten it out later. There's some things that never get straightened out later. It's impossible. That old business of throwing a bunch of feathers up in the air and then trying to collect them all from a windstorm. It's impossible to get them all back. We need to understand that. So he's actually claiming to serve the Lord. In verse number 26, we see the spineless leadership of Israel. The Bible speaks of these men and talks about how spineless they are. Here comes Rabshakeh, and he's speaking openly to them. He's talking to them in the tongue of the Jew. And these leaders say, hey, listen, don't talk in the tongue of the Jew. Listen, speak in another language that we can understand and you can understand. And don't let the... Listen, everything, what they're saying is everything will be okay as long as the people don't find out. How many times has that worked out bad for people? It'll be okay if they, as long as they don't know about it. And then he goes down through from verse number 27 all the way down through the end of the chapter, actually through verse number 35, one humiliating thing after another humiliating thing, another embarrassing thing, another hard thing. He's using the task of humiliation, trying to defeat these people. He tells them in verse number 29, he says, thus saith the king, let not Hezekiah deceive you. Verse number 30, neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. Verse number 31, hearken not to Hezekiah. Down to the latter part of verse number 32, hearken not unto Hezekiah. Again and again and again and again and again, trying to embarrass them and humiliate them to the place that they'll quit following the Lord Jesus. And then we see a time when Hezekiah begins to really sense the situation. And I can say to you tonight, I think with all honesty and accuracy, that you and I are never going to really pray like God wants us to pray until we really sense the situation. When we see our children slipping off into hell, when we see our children marrying lost people and their children being raised to believe that God is not, and they're going to slip off into hell, when we see the situation like it really is, then is our heart and our mind beginning to get ready to pray. But usually not much before that. Not until we see the situation. These truths, these two biblical truths, were not written at the time that Hezekiah is written about here. But they were just as true then as they are now, and they're just as true now as when they were written in the New Testament. In John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Oh, when we pray, we need to understand. We're not talking about the extra paycheck coming in. We're not talking about grandma coming over. We're not talking about some rich relative dying, you know, rich uncle dies and leaves us a barrel full of money. No, Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. And when we really get down to the place where we recognize that is the situation, we're probably not going to pray like we ought to. James chapter 4 and verse number 2 says, you lust and you have not, you kill and desire to have and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. I don't know how many times when we were getting ready to go somewhere in Austria, we'd be saying our goodbyes to different people, and one of the Austrians would say, wir denken auf Ihnen. We'll be thinking about you. Hey, listen, as a child of God, don't think about me. Pray for me. But you know, I got to thinking about that just recently. And how often does someone call and there's a prayer request given, or in a church service a prayer request is given, and we think, I really need to pray about it. And we think about it, and we think about it, and we think about it, but we never really get down and pray about it. And I'm not talking, when I say get down, I'm not talking about our physical location with the earth. I'm talking about just really get to business and pray about that need. We just don't do that. In chapter 18 of verse number 37, actually down through verse number 1 of chapter 19, the Bible says, and Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, which was over the household, and Shebna the scribe, and Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, and told him the words of Rabshakeh. And it came to pass, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into the house of the Lord. Verse 3, and they said unto him, thus saith Hezekiah, this is the day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children are come to birth and there is not strength to bring forth. Here we find the Bible testifies that he begins to see the situation. He sees the stress of his men. He sees how they're dressed. He sees them come with their clothes rent and wearing sackcloth and one thing or another. And he says, wow, something has to happen different than what's been happening. And Hezekiah decides to get busy with the Lord. So we find him renting his own clothes, putting on sackcloth. My wife was working with some burlap today, and I picked up a piece of it and felt it. Remembered picking up all those feed sacks and so forth made out of that, and how rough it is, and how would you like to have to wear that underneath your clothes? Put on a necktie and tuck that stuff real close to your throat and everything. That'd be a bad thing, but he did that. He's going to the house of the Lord. And then, of course, his message to Isaiah is simply, this is a day of trouble. He said, I've really realized this is a day of trouble. Someone says, well, all we can do is pray. And some wise person said, all we need to do is pray. This is a day of trouble and of rebuke and blasphemy, for the children have come to birth and there is no strength to bring forth. I think at this point in his life, Hezekiah lost all confidence in himself. He lost all confidence in his own personal relationship with the Lord. You say, what makes you think that? Well, in verse number 4, his message was this. It may be that the Lord thy God. He didn't say the Lord our God. He didn't say the Lord my God. He said it may be that the Lord thy God will hear. And then down at the towards the end of the verse, it says, God will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. And so we find that he just kind of came to a place where he completely given up on himself, which is a good place. But he'd also given up on the Lord. I see the strategy of Satan. In verse number 8 of chapter number 19, we find that Rabshakeh returns. He'd been away, he returns, he comes back, and he comes back with a full-fledged venom towards the nation of Israel, the nation of Judah, really, and the city of Jerusalem. Could I suggest to you that Satan doesn't give up like we do? He doesn't give up like we do. Remember his return when he's challenging God over Job? He didn't just challenge one time and walk away and say, well, I guess he won. He came back again and challenged him again. And even when he was completely defeated by the Lord Jesus in the wilderness, totally defeated, he plans to return. When the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 4 and verse number 13, when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. He said, okay, you won this time, but I'll be back. And we need to understand that the devil hasn't changed his strategy, and he will be back. In verses 10 and 11, he uses the same tactics as before. The Bible says that, thus shall you speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, let not thy God in whom thou trustest deceive thee, saying, Jerusalem shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Assyria. Behold, thou hast heard what the king of Assyria hath done to all the lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered? And then he goes on and on and on talking about this, using embarrassment and humiliation and ridicule time and time and time again. But then we see the satisfaction of real supplication. We find this beginning in verse number 15. The Bible said, and Hezekiah prayed. And Hezekiah prayed. Until now, Hezekiah has not prayed. In spite of his history, in spite of his accomplishments, in spite of his reputation. And could I remind you tonight that even God can't answer an unprayed prayer. Even God cannot answer an unprayed prayer. Sometimes we fret and worry about things. We wonder why things haven't happened like they ought to. And then the Lord shakes us a little bit and reminds us, well, you never asked me about that. You never talk to me about that. God won't answer an unprayed prayer. So now he's going to get serious. In verse number 14, the Bible says, and Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread out before the Lord. Well, I've got a vivid imagination of him receiving this letter, all kinds of threats and promises in it, and he takes it in. He didn't know what else to do with it, so he takes the letter in. He lays it down before the Lord. He gets down before it and says, Lord, do you see this? Lord, do you see this? And he begins to talk to the Lord about that letter that had been driving him crazy. He spread it out before the Lord. And verse number 15 says, and Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord and said, O Lord of Israel, thou which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kings of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear, and open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Then you get down to verse number 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee. He's begging God now. Save thou all out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art Lord God, even thou only. Remember I said that beseech is when you're asking for something for somebody else's benefit rather than your own? There's an example of it right there. He says, I'm praying. God says, Hezekiah prayed. And here the Bible says, Hezekiah says, I beseech you. He said, I'm not even asking this for me, Lord, but I'm asking it for you, that all the earth, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. That's not a lot of a change outwardly, but it's a whole lot of change inwardly. Now we find in verse number 20 that Isaiah the son of Amos sent to Hezekiah saying, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, that which thou hast prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. The Bible says in the New Testament, we know that if he heareth us whatsoever we ask, we have the petitions that we desired of him. And so I guess tonight the message is simply this. Doesn't matter what we've accomplished in the past. Doesn't matter what we've done. When a need comes and we really see that need as something urgent and we really believe that God is the one that has to take care of this, Lord, use me any way you want, any part of the puzzle. Place me anywhere you want to place me that this thing might be taken care of. But Lord, I know that many times I don't have today because I didn't ask back then. But I'm asking you, and I do believe that without you it's impossible. Without the Lord Jesus, I can do nothing. And so, Lord, I want you to take over this situation. I beg you. For your name's sake, I'm tired of seeing people laugh at you. I'm tired of seeing relatives at family reunions scoffing and mocking and laughing and joking about it. I'm tired of coming around the corner just in time to hear what's her name or what's his name toast somebody else with that wicked brew that the devil conjured up and used the name of the Lord in vain. I'm tired, Lord, of all this mockery. Oh, God, give me a sincere heart. Give me a heart that'll go forth and pray and talk to you like I expected you to answer me. Help me, Lord, to be what I'm supposed to be. That the Holy Ghost of God may say simply to me, that which thou hast prayed to me, I've heard. What a day that is. Let's pray tonight. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this book. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to preach it. And I pray in Jesus' name that we had learned much from Hezekiah. And Lord, his lesson has not ended. There's still yet much more that he can teach us. And I pray, Lord, that we'd be good learners. And Lord, we'd apply the word of God to our hearts and lives. And Lord, it would allow you to direct us. Be pleased, Lord, with our response, with our reaction to what we do. Power to know and power to do. I think the song said a while ago, we need that power. Help us, Lord, I pray. Would you stand with me, please, tonight with heads bowed?